Hey everyone, this is James Wilson and welcome to another Bike James podcast. In this podcast, I am going to talk about something that may seem a little off subject, but really, when you understand how I look at fitness and riding and training and all of it, you understand that it's really not off subject. And that is the subject of how to become the MTB warrior. Now, again, just get this out of the way. No one here is, you know, saying we're trying to pretend to be warriors like we're going to battle or in the army or anything like that, right? So there's a lot of different definitions of that word warrior and a lot of different ways to use it. And so the ultra macho, you know, like I said, the you know, literal warrior who goes into battle and kills people, like that is just one aspect of that term and one way to emphasize what it means, but it's not the only way to look at that term and look at yourself in relation to it. And I think that it's important that we do that. I mean, it seems like in society today, this is something that's getting less and less politically correct to do. You know, mountain biking in particular seems to be in a race to become the most woke sport, the fastest. And so a lot of times in this rush to try to cater to people's feelings, we forget that we need heroes. Like we need heroes, whether they're real people or archetypes or whatever that is, that they're not relatable, that they're inspirational, right? Like I don't want relatable heroes. I want heroes that do make me feel bad about myself, that I look at them and I say, I want to be like that. And there's a gap between them and what they represent and their behavior and where I'm at. And the pain is one of the motivating factors that causes you to want to change and improve yourself. And I think that the warrior archetype and having heroes that we're trying to emulate like that are an unfortunate casualty of this desire. And again, like, you know, no one wants to make people feel bad. Like I don't, you know, you feeling bad, like, you know, again, there's this debate like, well, you know, are you good enough now? You're good enough now, right? And man, that's horseshit. Like that's, if you think that you're good enough now, then like, what's the point of waking up every morning? Like, I don't understand it, right? Like, I feel like that the point of life is to improve, to start where you're at. We all have different places that we start from. And then to use the opportunities and the tools that we've been given and make the most of those things in order to improve. And every day you should be trying to improve and just get a little bit better, right? Like that 1% better saying that sometimes gets overused, but there is truth to that. You're trying to be better than who you are or who you were yesterday, right? And that's the point. And so, but what happens is people get this, you know, they feel bad and sometimes people can take it too far as like pointing out like how, where you're at right now and how bad you are at something right now. And it can cause frustration and it can cause people to perhaps quit or not try as hard or whatever. But the part of that is on them as well to understand how to direct that energy and how to, you know, filter these things out. It's part of the learning process. You're not always going to have people that say the nicest things to you. And so being able to understand like, man, where are these people coming from? Why are they, you know, maybe they've got some sort of issue that they're working out and they're taking it out on other people around them, right? Like that's, there's other ways to look at it other than, oh, this person says I suck and I should just quit because I feel bad about myself, right? And so none of what I'm about to say, none of what MTB Strength Training Systems has ever been about. And this is where, again, I've run up against this. Like I've seen this movement, this push coming over the years where I would release an article and get a lot of pushback from people. So, you know, one, for example, was, you know, I wrote an article on, you know, if you can't do a deep squat, then you shouldn't be riding a bike, right? And like not the, it wasn't literally that you suck if you can't do a deep squat, you shouldn't be riding a bike. Like if you read the article, you saw that what I was saying was that if you want to ride a bike and you want to be healthy and you want to do it effectively and all this other stuff, then the mobility that you need to do a deep squat is important for all of these things. And so being able to do a deep squat should be a priority for you. And if you can't, then that should alarm you. Like, you should have a, again, like, there, it should bother you that you can't, to the point that you're going to take action in order to change it. Like, if it doesn't bother you, if there's nothing wrong with something, then why change it, right? So sometimes people have to point out to you why something should bother you in order for you to feel the need to change it. And so when I tell people, man, your deep squat sucks, like, you really, you need to be able to do a deep squat to be able to ride effectively and to be able to maintain your health as you're doing it over the long run. Again, there's two ways to take it. It's like, okay, someone's trying to point out something that it can make me better over the long run. And yes, it hurts in the moment to look at where I'm at and realize that I'm not there yet. But, you know, it's for my own good. Or you can look at it like, this guy's just being a dick. What a dick that Bike James guy is. He tells people that if they can't do a squat, a deep squat, then they shouldn't be riding a bike. And how dare he, you know, tell people that did that. And it's like, that attitude is going to get you nowhere. It's not the point. It gets you nowhere. And it's just your ego trying to defend itself, right? So the point is that we do need to think about things like being a warrior. It is important for us to know what does that entail and how can we emulate that, right? Whether it's a person like Jocko Willink, right? That's a great example of someone who is relatively well known, especially in the fitness world, who is a true modern day warrior and is someone that you can look at for inspiration for, like, I want to be like that guy. You know, he's got, you know, his discipline, the way that he handles tough situations. All of these things are things that you can look up to and emulate. Now, when you look at his Instagram and you see the guy's been up at 4:30 working out, or, you know, he's done these things that are just things that you can't comprehend, does it make you feel bad in the moment? Well, you know, yeah, but that's the point is not to cancel Jocko, right? But, like, unfortunately, that's kind of where we're going with that. Instead of, like, embracing these aspects of the warrior, we are trying to push them aside because they do tend to make people feel uncomfortable and bad about themselves. And that's okay. That's okay. So, again, the point of all of this has always been to try and help you understand how you can improve. And sometimes to help you understand how you can improve, you first got to understand how you suck. And that's just part of life. So, you know, that is really what we're talking about here. So this warrior archetype, the warrior that we want to emulate, you know, what is that? What does that mean? And so there's, again, there's a bunch of different great sayings and quotes and things that talk about the warrior in different ways. And I guess one of my favorite, I guess if we're thinking about it, is mountain bikers. And again, I don't know where this quote came from. There's an old Greek, Heraclitus, I think, or something, however you pronounce his name, that this quote's been attributed to, but I think it's been pretty well debunked that it probably wasn't him. We're not really sure where it came from, but it's a somewhat, you know, well-known quote, so you may have heard it. But the quote goes, out of every 100 men in battle, 10 shouldn't even be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we're lucky to have them, for they make the battle. But one is the warrior, and he will bring the others back. And that's really what it's about, right? Like, that the you want to be the person that can bring the others back if trouble comes your way, no matter what context that trouble may be. Okay, and so that's really what I'm talking about, is like, are you the kind of person who can help out, right? If things go sideways, are you the kind of person that people are going to look to or to help get them, you know, bring them back? Or are you going to be one of the 10 that shouldn't even be there, right? Or just the people that are, like, kind of, how, you know, if you put them in the right area, then tell them what to do, they'll perform, but they're not really going to take charge of the situation. Like, man, if you think about it, like, that image of the 100 warriors and the breakdown of it, that's probably not far off from a breakdown of 100 riders, right? If you take 100 riders out on the trail, I mean, honestly, 10 of them probably shouldn't even be there. And again, I know in today's PC society, saying something like that is so taboo, but it's the truth, man. Like, it's people, you know, mountain biking isn't necessarily for everyone. Okay. So, like, sometimes, and that's okay. So, but you got 10 that shouldn't even be there, 80 that are just, you know, bouncing around on the trail. You know, they're targets, meaning that, like, they're not really accomplishing much of anything. They're just there. They're riding. They're not that good. They're not that bad. You know, they just kind of get down the trail. And then, you know, and if you've got the 9 riders that are pretty good. And then you've got the 1, right? The 1 that is the true warrior. The 1, and not just the fastest, right? Like, that's not what I'm talking about. It's the 1 who, if he comes across someone who's got a mechanical issue, can help out. If someone's bleeding, they can help out. If, you know, where they're at, they understand how to, you know, read terrain. If you start to get lost and they understand how to orient themselves and read terrain, right? Like, these are skills that a mountain bike warrior should have. And these are things that, you know, if you've ever been in a position where you needed these things, you know how important they are. It's just, unfortunately, or not unfortunately, fortunately, we, you know, live in a society and, you know, our sport is an extension of that, where we're shielded from a lot of these things. And so, again, like, I've been on riding groups where there's people who've gone out. Like I said, man, it's like they don't know how to do the simplest thing on their bike. They don't bring what you would need to fix a flat, right? Like, they rely on everyone else around them to get them back. Right. And so, like, you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that rider. Like, you want to be the opposite of that. And so, you know, you need to take charge of these things and take responsibility for them. OK, so the world needs more people who are going to be that one that will bring the others back if trouble comes. OK, so because of this, I think that it's important that you look beyond the bike. Right. And become, like I said, an MTB warrior, or really, by my definition of it, someone that can help themselves and others if needed. And again, like this, you know, there's a book called Natural Born Heroes, which takes a really good look at this concept, right? Like, he points out in the book is about several different things. But one of the themes behind it is that the Greeks and later the Romans had being a hero was important in their society. Not a superhero, right? Not a demigod. But, like, to them, a hero is someone who can help out. If your neighbors and community and country needed you, could you help out? Anything from, like, helping a neighbor move a couch to, you know, being able to go off to battle and fight the, you know, bad guys trying to come and rape and pillage your village, right? So, like, it was important, and they had a system for bringing up heroes. They had a society where it was important and where they actively tried to cultivate this attitude and mindset. And again, like, Sparta would be the most extreme example of this mindset, where they literally just went full, you know, 100% in with the warrior mindset and training of every male to fit that role, you know, within the Spartan society. And so, but the idea is that, you know, in that book, you get the idea that at one point in time, this wasn't such a weird foreign thing, right? Like, people were brought up wanting to be warriors because that was one of the qualities that was held up as important for people to have. And today, that's just not necessarily it, right? Like, now we're told it's all about you. You're the most important thing. You know, your feelings are the most important thing. And it's not really about something bigger than you, like your neighbors, your community, your town, your country. Like, those things aren't as important. It's more about you, the individual. And so, again, it can make it's a different mindset that you have when you look at the world that way. And so, I guess what I'm trying to encourage people to do is look beyond, you know, the bike and just themselves, and how can they impact other people positively, both on and off the trail, right? So, and especially on the trail. I mean, the thing is that the truth is, as mountain bikers, we put ourselves in a position where things can go wrong. I mean, I've survived several wrecks. I have hurt myself very badly. I've got several scars and a surgery and other things to show for it. I've seen other people get broken off and hurt real bad. So, man, and mountain biking inherently is a dangerous activity. And so, just understanding how to navigate that, and beyond just the wrecks, right, is mechanical issues that can pop up. So it can put you in a position where you need to know more than just, like, what the geometry of your bike is, or your specs of your bike is, right? Like, those things have, you know, some place, but you know, you run across these people, it's like, man, they can tell you what their bottom bracket height and head tube angle and all these specs and data are, but they don't know how to, you know, effectively change a flat or tune a derailleur, or they don't carry an extra derailleur cable in case there are snaps or just basic things like that, right? So, and these things can put you in a position that where things can go from bad to worse, right? If you're out on a ride and you're really far away from society and you get a mechanical and you don't have the tools or the know-how to fix it, like that can get become an interesting situation very quickly. And same thing with like the wrecks on the medical side. So, you know, that's something that you need to think about. You also got to look beyond the trail. Make sure you're dealt to prepare with potential issues like vehicle problems, right? Like, again, as mountain bikers, we're oftentimes we are driving out of society, right? Like, we are not – most mountain bike trails and opportunities are not in towns. And so you have to drive out. Sometimes you got to drive really far out. And so maybe it's just living in Colorado that made me more aware of this. But, man, when you're going into the mountains – you want to make sure that you've got a few basic things, because if your car breaks down and you don't got cell phone service and you get stuck somewhere overnight, a few basic things can and some know-how can make a big difference between a not so bad night and what might turn into like a survival situation, right? So we put ourselves in these situations, and again, just because the odds of it happening are really low, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the know-how and the tools and things to be prepared for dealing with that. So again, and then beyond that too, is just having, knowing how to deal with violence, whether it's hostile animals or other people. Okay. So again, this is something that, again, we live in a society where we don't have to deal with this a lot, but it is something that happens. I mean, where I live, I've come across coyotes. There was a mountain lion that got hit by a car just like 200 or 300 feet from a disc golf course where my family plays all the time. I've seen numerous black bears when I've been out riding at distance. So, you know, knowing your surroundings, like what is out there and what can be dangerous and how to deal with those things if danger arises, again, is important to know. And they're like, right now, like there's a lot of new mountain bikers. Like, we've seen an influx of new riders. Like, it's pretty much been unprecedented in our sport. And so there's a lot of people that are going out on the trail for the first time, or, you know, they've just got a few months experience. And again, like, these are things like, hopefully you've not had to use them yet, but if you ride long enough, odds are you will eventually come across something or need to know, like, what is in this area, what can be dangerous, what do I do if I see it, how do I avoid it, right? Like, what is, you know, what is mountain lion country? When do I not want to go into those areas? Like, just some basic know-how can go a long ways. But again, if you're not told this, right, if you're a rider and you're told that, like, hey man, the most important thing are Strava times and having the coolest equipment, you're not going to think about these things. And then you may find yourself in an unfortunate situation where it didn't need to be like that. If you would have had someone, and hopefully that's one of my goals of doing all this, is to have someone open your mind to the idea that there are other things that I need to know and be prepared for besides just riding my bike necessarily. Okay. So, and then just really not to the, on the most basic level, you got to get through your day-to-day life if you want to be able to ride. Like, how are you going to make it to the trail to ride if you don't make it through your day-to-day life? And so, again, just being prepared and aware so that you can navigate day-to-day life safely and effectively is, again, a skill that you should be thinking about and be working on. But it's not something that we generally are taught or told to do, right? We're told, oh, you're being paranoid. Right? That's not the idea. It's not to become paranoid. It's simply to be prepared. Because here's what it boils down to. And this is kind of, I had this epiphany some time ago, and it really kind of made things a little more clearer for me with this paranoid or prepared thing. But really, you're going to pretend one of two things, because we don't know what's going to happen to ourselves until we're on our deathbed at the end. And then we can look back and go like, oh yeah, that's what happened. Okay, so you don't know. You have no idea what's really going to happen to you. And so really at this point, you're just pretending. You're pretending one of two things are going to happen to you. You're pretending that nothing's going to happen to you. That's one option, okay? Like, nothing's going to happen to you. You're going to make it through your whole life and everything's going to be just fine. And hopefully that's what happens. I hope that everybody listening to this, that is actually what happens. Okay. But that's one hope, is that nothing happens and I don't really need to be prepared or worried about anything because nothing's going to happen to me. I don't need to worry about it. Then you've got the other thing, that you can pretend that something might happen to you. And again, they're both pretending, because until you can look back and you know for sure, you don't know, right? So you're pretending which one's going to happen, either nothing or something. Well, if you decide that, okay, well, I'm going to pretend that something could happen to me. Well, okay, what does that mean? Like, how far am I wanting to take that? And so, like, for as writers, right, like, probably the most obvious example of this is carrying some basic, you know, learning some basic mechanical skills and carrying some basic tools to be able to deal with minor mechanicals, like a flat tire, broken derailleur cable, things like that, right? Like, you've got the people who I mentioned earlier, like, they are pretending that nothing is ever going to happen to them. And so they go out on the trail with nothing. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the tools or anything that they need to deal with anything that might happen to them, because they're pretending that nothing will happen to them. Or if something does happen to them, that somebody else will be there to save them. I guess that's a third option. You can pretend that something will happen, but you'll be lucky enough that someone will actually be there to bail you out. All right. And so, but then you've got the people, and it's, I used to be on the other end of the spectrum. Like, I have destroyed parts on bikes. Like, if you've ever, you know, ripped a derailleur off of a bike a long way from the parking lot, it makes you start thinking heavily about, should I carry an extra derailleur? So, like, there was at one point in time where I was carrying probably a small bike shop on my back. Like, I was, you know, I was very prepared. And I could, you know, I could almost build rebuild a bike. With the crap that I was carrying, it was heavy as hell and all this stuff. And so eventually, though, I start to realize, like, well, that's not what I want. Like, you know, I odds of me needing a derailleur are not high enough to justify me carrying a derailleur on every freaking ride I go on. And so I started to pare it down. And so you find this sweet spot. But the point is it becomes a spectrum. Like, once you decide that something might happen to you, okay, well, now there's a spectrum of, like, well, how far down this road are you going to go to prepare? Everything from, you know, just the basics. Well, I'm just going to learn how to change a flat, you know, maybe carry an extra derailleur cable and learn how to do that. To, I'm going to carry an extra derailleur and extra bolts and all this extra stuff and you know, an extra, you know, shifter pod and all the things, right? Like, that's really prepared. And that might be bordering on paranoid. I don't know, right? So, but that's where this comes down to. Once you decide that something might happen to you, then you have to decide for yourself where on that spectrum you are going to look at preparing yourself for. Okay? And so that's what it boils down to. And we do this, like I said, subconsciously or whatever with riding, when we look at what are we going to bring? You going to bring water? Right. Most people bring water because they don't assume that they're not going to get thirsty. Right. They assume that something's going to happen to them. They're going to get thirsty. Well, how? And so then they bring some water. And so, again, it's no different. Right. The mindset's no different. It's applying this warrior preparedness mindset to different areas. And then just understanding that this is what it is. Like, this mindset is the warrior mindset, or at least one incarnation of it. And so. So. With, you know, laying the groundwork there, there's seven skill sets that I feel that you need to be truly prepared for whatever life may throw at you. And again, like, you got to figure out where on the spectrums you're going to, you know, take your skills in each of these skill sets. But I think these are the things that you need to think about and have a plan for, at least have thought about. So first is health and fitness. Okay. It all starts here. Being healthy and fit for the tasks needed is the foundation that all your other skills are built on. So that is, I consider that a skill set. Your health and fitness are a skill set that you do need to actively train and work on and do things to improve. And like I said, this is the foundation that your other skill sets are going to be built on. So that's why sometimes the best thing to do, like if you're overweight, you know, you can't touch your toes. You can't do, you know, five good push-ups, like, then you probably don't need a more expensive bike. You probably don't need skills training. You probably need to work on this. You probably need to get your health and fitness in order. And you're going to see improvements in your other skill sets just from getting that foundation there late. Okay. And so like making sure that your health and fitness is taken care of is important. Again, that's a huge part of what MTB Strength Training Systems is about, and what I've talked about, and what my message is how to improve your health and fitness off the bike, so that you can ride better on the bike. So the second skill set that we need, and this is specific to us as mountain bikers, and that is mountain bike skills. And so, you know, part of your fitness is, like I said, like having fitness for the task at hand. And so fitness becomes like task and context specific. And so this would be where you would do some things specific to mountain biking. If you mountain bike, then you're going to do some things with your fitness program that reflect that. But beyond that is your actual like MTB skills, right? And so being able to ride with efficiency and flow is important not only for your performance, but also for your safety as well. And this is another thing that really I think doesn't get looked at and emphasized enough, is that it's not cool if you're riding at the ragged edge of your skills all the time, because, you know, that's a sure way of ending up hurt and being the one who's needing help. Okay. And so you need to have the skills in order to ride safely, and that's going to improve your performance. It's going to help your efficiency and flow, but you know, your skills on the trail are an important part of this. Maintenance and mechanical skills, another thing that's kind of specific for us as mountain bikers. You know, I've mentioned this several times before. You need to know how to work on your own bike. Okay, like you don't need to know how to be able to build a wheel, right? But this is that spectrum thing. Maybe you want to. Maybe you really enjoy it and you feel like you do need to be able to build your own wheel. But, you know, maybe not. I think that might be a little more than what the average rider needs to learn. But you do need to know how to keep your bike running and safe. Okay, that's not something that you want to outsource to someone else. You should know how to like just give your bike a basic maintenance safety check periodically. And you also don't want to be the guy standing on the side of the trail hoping that someone's going to come along who knows how to fix whatever's wrong on your bike. Like I've mentioned this several times before, that it's a, you know, you don't want to be that guy. You do need to know how to work on your own bike on some level and be prepared for minor things. And just beyond being able to you know, get yourself off the trail, whether you get a flat or a derailleur cable snaps or something basic like that, you also need to know how to just do basic safety and maintenance stuff on your bike. So again, this is a skill set that you need to have. So kind of getting away from the mountain bike specific stuff into some things that are a little bit more general, medical. So again, I've mentioned this already. We participate in a dangerous activity that can take place far away from where medical personnel can easily get in to help. So this means you should know how to stabilize someone who suffered a traumatic injury until help arrives. We're not playing emergency room doctor, okay? There are some very simple things that you can do, some very inexpensive tools that you can carry, like a tourniquet, that can literally mean life and death for someone, and being able to stabilize them long enough for the real help to get there. And I think that this is something that really mountain biking in general, like as a culture, we should be placing more of an emphasis on, is making sure that we do know how to help people. I mean, I've, you know, like I said, I've you know, suffered some wrecks. I've, you know, had some people get hurt bad enough to need medevac attention getting out. You know, one time I was riding and a kid who was there with a family, like fell off like a 20-foot cliff, and, you know, by the parking lot, or it wasn't, you know, one of the parking lots that was off the main road. And, you know, all of a sudden I find myself in a situation where I am standing around, and I'll admit, like, I didn't really know exactly what to do. And that was a super helpless, terrible feeling, like having the mom crying and people, you know, walking around and nobody knows what to do. And they've called 911, but you're waiting and you don't know if there's anything that you can or should be doing. And so, you know, luckily one, I remembered from my first aid, you know, CPR training back in the day, that one of the things you want to do is make sure that someone is going out to lead the medical help in. So like, if you're not at a, you know, at an address, if you're off the main road at all, and there's any question about where they may need to go, someone needs to go out there and meet them and lead them in. And so I went and did that. And luckily it worked out, because they did not know exactly where to go. Like, they got there and they just knew that it was the, you know, this trail area. They didn't know what parking lot. They didn't know their way around. And so if I hadn't have been there to help them, like, it could have dragged things out, you know, significantly longer before help was able to get there. But again, like, I was, you know, luckily I had taken a first aid course. Like, how many people that are on the trail have never even taken a basic first aid or CPR course and have just no idea at all, like, what do I do if someone gets hurt? And that's not, that shouldn't be the norm, right? We should have an army of people on the trails who are ready to help fellow riders or hikers or whatever. I mean, you know, I did a video a couple weeks ago on a rider that got stabbed by a hiker, right? Very extreme situation. But again, like, you know, he could have bled out. Being able to have the basic things and knowledge to help stabilize someone who may be bleeding out is an important thing. So again, it's one of these things, like, you're going to go on 1,000 rides and nothing's going to happen. Then you're going to go on that one where something does. The question is, are you ready, right? Can you, are you going to be able to help? So beyond the medical are bushcraft skills. And so I'm kind of using this term a little loosely. I know it means a more specific thing, but I'm using it as, like, basically, you know, we go pretty deep into nature on a regular basis. So it's only smart to know how to coexist with it, right? Like, being knowledgeable about what you might encounter, whether it's, you know, animals or, you know, poison ivy, or, you know, do you know what poison ivy and poison oak looks like? Just, you know, basic things like that, to, you know, how to survive overnight. Right? Like, do you know and have some basic things on you that if you did have a mechanical or something happen where you found yourself in some weird situation where you were going to have to spend the night on the trail, right? Like, would it be a cool story or would it be a tragic tale? And so these bushcraft skills are something, again, for a sport that spends as much time deep in nature as we do, the fact that these skills aren't something that's more heavily considered and talked about, I think, is surprising. Another thing that you do need to think about are combatives and self-defense. Now, again, I mentioned a few minutes ago the story about a rider that got stabbed by a hiker. And so, again, an extreme example, but part of combatives and self-defense is it's just knowing how to deal with violence, right? Violence can happen anywhere and to anyone. And pretending that it isn't going to happen to you, right? We talked about that. Like, what are you going to do? Are you going to pretend that nothing's going to happen to you? Or are you going to pretend that something might happen to you and prepare yourself? But pretending that it's not going to happen is not going to help you if it does come your way. So knowing how to spot potential violence and how to handle it, a large part of which is being able to defuse the situation. Anyone who gets into a legitimate, like, self-defense, you know, art, martial art, whatever, you know, like, I've been into jiu-jitsu for, you know, a little over 8 years now. And you realize very quickly that you're learning to fight. It's like the old Karate Kid thing. You learn to fight so you don't have to fight. Like, when you learn how to fight, you're able to spot potential fights before they happen and avoid them. And it's like I said on that video, like, when I teach the kids and even the adults, when we're talking about self-defense, I tell them the point of a fight is not to win the fight. The point is to not lose the fight, right? And so if you can avoid the fight, then you can't lose a fight that you weren't in, right? So every fight that you avoid, you've accomplished your goal. But you have to know how to do that. You have to know how to spot potential violence, how to spot, you know how to diffuse these things. And then if things do go sideways, do you know what to do to handle the situation well enough to keep yourself from getting hurt and get out of it or whatever the case may be? So it is something that you do need to do. And then finally, the last skill set is your everyday carry, your EDC. So your everyday carry is simply what you have on you so that you can be helpful and prepared if needed. So myself personally, like, on a daily basis, I carry a small knife and flashlight, among a few other things. You know, in my Camelback or, you know, hip pouch, my hydration bag pack, I carry a tourniquet and some basic first aid kit, things like that. In my car, I have what's known as a get home bag, or, you know, you can also, a bug out bag is one word for it, but I look at it as a get home bag, where I have the things that I need to survive overnight, or, you know, a night or two in the woods if I needed to, in order to get back home. If something happened and I wasn't able to get back home, I've got what I need in my car to be able to just throw a bag on my back and start heading home and have what I need to make it. And so, like, these are just basic things that will help you just, one, be more prepared and feel more confident to that you can handle whatever gets thrown your way, right? So that EDC, I think, is something that is important for people to consider. And again, just beyond, you know, we do this a little bit, like with our what do we take on the trail? Like, that is your EDC, that is your bike, trail riding, everyday carry. You know, what do you take with you every day that you go ride? And again, it can range from people that take nothing to people that take, stuff to be helpful. So, you know, what does that mean exactly? But then how does that extend beyond just your riding? And how does that extend to your daily life? How does that extend to your car? And so, you know, how you do one thing is how you should be doing everything. And it should permeate all aspects of what you do. And so, really, like, that's how, you know, I've always looked at this. I mean, really, this shouldn't be, like, if you follow my stuff for any period of time, like, you know, one of my biggest influences of all time on my training programs and training philosophy is Miyamoto Musashi's Book of Five Rings. I've read that book probably a dozen times, and every time I read it, I get new stuff out of it. But, like, that mindset of, you know, if you're a warrior, you're a warrior 24 hours a day. Like, I've said the same thing about mountain biking. Like, if you're a mountain biker, you're a mountain biker 24 hours a day. Like, the food that you eat, the exercises that you do, the sleep that you get, all of those things should be done through the filter of how is this going to impact my riding, right? And now we're looking at also kind of taking that beyond, like, this is where we're employing that warrior mindset. Like, how is this going to impact my riding? How is this going to impact my ability to help if needed, whether it's on the trail or off the trail? And, like, that's the mindset that I've always tried to encourage in people and always tried to brainwash the mountain biking community into adopting on some level. And so, like, just going ahead and just, like, taking it to the full level of, like, all right, well, this is more than just the bike. This is more than just fitness on the bike. So let's get into some of these other areas. And that's really what I'm wanting to do and what I'm going to be doing moving forward with MTB Strength Training Systems, is to move beyond just the bike and the fitness stuff, which there's going to be plenty of that still, right? I got isometrics, steel mace training, some new ways of looking at skills training and drills that I'm excited to share with you guys. So there's a lot in those areas, but there's a lot more to it, right? There's a lot more to being that mountain bike warrior that we all need more of than just that. And so I want to be able to expose and educate my fellow riders on these elements that I feel should be part of your training program and part of your lifestyle. So in the meantime, what can you do? Here's some really basic things. One, join a jiu-jitsu gym. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is one of the best things that you can do for yourself physically, spiritually, mentally. I love mountain biking, but jiu-jitsu has something with it that just is awesome. And there's just a comrade comradeship, I guess, or friendship, and just, you know, from the, you know, wrestling, when you're wrestling with someone, man, it's such a thing. You're putting yourself in their care, right? Like, you're trusting that if you tap, they're going to stop doing whatever it is they're doing to you, and vice versa. And so, I love it from the community aspect. And it's also a very practical self-defense. It's not the only self-defense that you need, but it is that foundation that you'll be able to build a very effective self-defense, strategy on top of. And so, you know, doing jiu-jitsu, even if it's just once a week, will make a huge difference in a lot of this stuff. It'll help your fitness. It'll help your combatives and self-defense. I think that everybody should be doing jiu-jitsu. Universal basic jiu-jitsu is something that everybody should have access to and do. There's also, on the medical side, there's a website called Mountain Man Medical, and I'll put the link in with the show notes and the article that comes along with this too. But he has a really great video series, or they have a really great video series on the basic algorithm to follow if you come across someone who suffered a traumatic injury. The MARCH algorithm, as it's known. There's a couple out there, but that's the one that they use there. And it's just a really good primer on, well, what is this medical stuff? Like, what can I do, and how would I help stabilize someone? Because again, man, like, you know, I knew a guy that punctured his femoral artery with his handlebars, right? Like, just bike washed out on him, and he just right and punctured the femoral artery. And so, like, it's this idea that you're never going to come across someone who suffered some sort of traumatic injury, or yourself needing help. with you know, mountain biking, it seems silly to me. If you do it long enough, you're gonna realize, like, holy crap, like we're rolling the dice every time we go out there, and we really should be better prepared for it. And so that video series on mountainmanmedical.com is a good way to get started with that. Buy a tourniquet, you know, $25, learn how to use it. Again, they cover that on that video series there. And then also make sure you got the basic things you need to fix minor mechanical problems on the trail. If you don't know how to fix a flat, learn how to fix a flat and get what you need. If you don't know how to replace a derailleur cable and tune a derailleur, get what you need and figure that out. Whether you go to your bike shop, you look it up on YouTube, whatever that is, but you got to be proactive in educating yourself on these things. It's not going to find you, right? Like it's obvious at this point that these things are not something that are encouraged in society in general, and especially in mountain biking specifically. And so, like, you know, your combatives and self-defense stuff isn't just going to find you, right? Like your medical training is not just going to find you. Your mechanical training is not just going to find you. You got to go out and find it. And so you got to make that effort. And that's one of the things that I want to do, is help, you know, share some of the resources that I've come across and found to be very helpful, and share this information with you guys. So just like anything else, this is a journey, and I'm excited to go on it with you. And yeah, so to wrap up, I want to share a quote from my favorite samurai, Miyamoto Musashi. The warrior attitude is very simple. Focus your mind on your goal. Constantly strive to attain perfection, and do not allow yourself to be sidetracked. That pretty much sums it up. That is what it takes. And so, not just on the bike, but in you know, life itself. And so, I'm hoping through this, you know, call to look at and work towards becoming the MTB warrior, that I'm able to help you in a lot of different areas besides just your riding. Because really, as fun as riding is, man, life's a lot more than just that. And being able to use riding as a vehicle for self-improvement that's going to help you in all areas of life is really, I think, the best and most powerful way to use riding. Like, screw your Strava times. Who the hell cares? If you're a terrible person, right? If you're a bad person, you kick your dog when you go home, and, you know, nobody likes you, and you're, you know, one of those guys who doesn't carry anything and just expects everybody to help him out. But man, you're king of the mountain on all the Strava segments, right? Like, I don't know, man. I don't think that is really the goal. I don't think that's really the goal. That's not my goal. Maybe that's your goal, and we can have separate goals for riding. Riding doesn't mean the same thing to everyone, and that's fine. But this is what it means to me, and I'm not going to apologize for it. And if you are on the same boat, then, you know, come on board and let's have some fun. And if not, then I don't really care. It's not a concern of mine. You just keep being a dick and being king of the mountain, and that's fine. But, you know, as for me and the people who feel like there's more to riding than just that, we're going to, you know, explore some of these other areas. So, yeah, and have some fun doing it. So anyway, so that's going to do it. Thanks for listening to this. If you made it this far, remember, you can check me out at bikejames.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. You get a free mountain bike specific workout. I send out a couple free newsletters each week, you know, podcasts like this, videos, all sorts of good stuff. And I'm going to be doing more stuff in some of these unconventional areas here soon. So things like self-defense for mountain bikers. Like, what do you do if you come across an irate hiker, or, you know, you're riding your bike on the road to get to the trailhead and you come across some sort of road rage incident? Like, well, what do you do? Right. So we're going to cover some of these things. And, so that's going to do it. Check me out at bikejames.com. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed this podcast, and I will talk to everybody next time.